Welcome to episode 33 of the Mental Breakdown. This is Dr. Bernie.
And I'm Dr. Richard.
Happy Black Friday, Richard.
That's right. Happy Thanksgiving, but more importantly, happy Black Friday.
Yes.
It has become sort of a national holiday.
It's its own holiday. It is. It's Black Friday. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. And so here we are doing our podcast. Whether it's Black Friday or not, we're here at 8 o'clock on Friday mornings to do our Mental Breakdown podcast, reaching out to people, talking about things that I think are important, and hopefully will help people out a little bit.
Right. Especially this time of year.
Yes.
Lots to talk about.
Especially this time of year. Did you have a good day yesterday?
I did.
Spending time with family?
Family. No friends, but lots of family.
That's great. Yep. Yeah, me too. We were over at my grandmother's house, and there were not as big of a crowd this year as last, but probably about 20 or 30 people there. Still quite a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Most of which are kids, of course.
Right.
I think that there's more and more babies.
That's what happens.
We had three new babies this past year in our family, so it, man.
Yeah, the demographics change over the years, don't they?
The average age is starting to get lower again.
Right.
So, but you had a good day.
Good day. Yes. I'm all rejuvenated and ready to get back at it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, last week, Richard, we did a podcast about Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And about how sort of the holidays is a condensed version of the rest of our life as it relates to things that we have to do, that sometimes
right.
we don't want to do.
That's right. Yeah, the holidays are a metaphor for the rest of the year. The things that we experience during the holidays are an exaggerated form of what we experience during the year. And it suddenly struck us that the way we approach the holidays is probably the way that we should approach all the other days of the year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know that you've had this experience too, so that's why I'm mentioning it.
Mm-hmm.
We have gotten a lot of feedback about topic.
Yeah.
This past week, as is the case most of the year or most holiday seasons, mm-hmm. we get a lot of feedback from patients coming in and people wanting to talk about all the stress that they're experiencing, again, mm-hmm. relatively condensed during this time of the year, but
right.
Certainly experiencing some stress and some frustration and feelings of being overwhelmed and those kinds of things.
Well, that's what really got us started on this, because at this time of the year, I'm always struck by all the advice columns that you get in magazines and TV and radio and websites about how to survive the holidays.
That's the catchphrase, surviving
right.
the holidays.
How to survive. And you get all these tips about how you survive this and how you survive that, and what you should do and what you shouldn't do.
Well, and that's what we've written over the past couple of years. We've written about, you know, how do you survive the holidays?
And then it struck us this year, why are we struggling
what
to
are we
survive
talking about?
The holiday? You know, they should be a time to rejuvenate, to recharge, to be with people you care about, to set some time and energy aside to do the things that we really want to do.
Yeah.
But the focus seems to be, how do you manage this trauma, this traumatic event that we
right.
now call the holidays?
Right.
And that struck us as being a little bit odd.
Yeah.
And so we've been discussing it and writing about it.
Right. Yeah, you think about other scenarios where we talk about surviving something. We survive a conflict. We survive a war. We survive
natural disasters. Right.
Chronic illnesses. We survive cancer. Mm-hmm. We're a cancer survivor. So we survive these things, and almost everything where we're talking about it in that context, we're mm-hmm. talking about something negative, something
yes, negative.
That's not
There's
very
a negative
positive.
Connotation. We have to survive the holidays, right?
Right. And so we're today's podcast entitled Bringing the Happy Back to the Holidays is going to focus on happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can we really be happy? And it sounds almost mm-hmm. elementary. It sounds right. like a childlike topic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we forget how. sometimes. I think that there's many times we get into our life so blindly mm-hmm. that we just follow protocol day to day, and we're unhappy.
Right.
And we don't do anything to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we feel many times, and we've certainly talked to patients and even family members, who don't see a way out.
Right.
They don't see themselves being happy. And one of the things I always ask my patients, and I think that, and I love this question, even though it's really difficult for my patients to answer, whether it's a 6-year-old or a 66-year-old, I say, what makes you happy?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always taken aback by how difficult of a question that is for some people.
Right.
What makes you happy?
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever it is that makes you happy, we have to find some time to do that.
And it's important, especially this time of year where we're saying happy Thanksgiving, happy holidays, happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, but you could say Happy Christmas.
Well,
I like saying Happy
I'm okay with Merry Christmas. It's been a long time that I've been saying Merry Christmas.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. But the question then becomes, whether you're talking about it for the holidays or for the year,
right.
What do we mean by happy?
Right.
You know, we're not talking about giddy happy. We're talking about a type of contentment, that I'm contented with my life. I'm satisfied. I like the people I'm with. I like my job. I like my family. What do we mean by happiness?
Yeah, let's take some time and define happy. When you're talking to a patient or a person about happy, what do you mean by happy?
Yeah, because it's not the giddy type of I'm really having a good time. It's more of a sense of serenity,
mm-hmm.
a sense of satisfaction.
Satisfaction is a good word.
Right, that I'm doing what I want to do. I'm fulfilled. I enjoy the people I spend time with. And also that I don't do many things that I really don't want to do. I don't do things because I have to do them, or I have to go to work. But I don't spend time with people that I really don't care about. I don't go places where I really don't want to go. I don't like Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like going to Walmart. And so I don't go. You know, there are certain stores that I just don't like going into. And for years I struggled when I would go in there, and I would always have this sense, some sense of dissatisfaction. So I said, wait a minute, I really don't want to go there. I don't really save that much money. I'm not going to go there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather pay a little bit extra and go to a smaller store. That's just my personal preference. But you make those little decisions. If you're not happy, you have one of two choices. Either you have to change what you're doing, or you have to change something about yourself. Either don't go to those places,
right.
Or learn how to handle those places when you do go to them.
Right.
So if you get this sense of disequilibrium or dissatisfaction, those are the only two ways to satisfy it. So to me, happiness is a sense of satisfaction, a sense of contentment, a sense that my life is somehow headed in the right direction.
And I think I do like the word satisfaction, because that's the word that I typically use. I use the words satisfaction, just pleasure. You know, when you go into different places, you know when you walk in, this is a place that I'm okay being. I'm okay to be here.
Right, right.
And when we get the feeling it's not okay to be here, mm-hmm. that's when there's problems.
Right.
You mentioned Walmart. What I found, because I often joke with my wife if I go into Walmart or something, I'm texting her, because it never fails when I go into Walmart. There's always a baby crying, kids screaming,
right.
And I don't know if that's just over the loudspeakers or if it's just what happens. Mm-hmm. But there are certain Walmarts to me mm-hmm. that are manageable, and then there's other ones that's not. And you
right.
know when you walk in the doors, and
right.
so like you, I avoid those that mm-hmm. make me feel unhappy or unsatisfied
right.
or uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
and then I tend to frequent the ones that make me
right.
more satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what we're talking there is at some level a decision that we're making. We're talking about being in tune with ourselves to know what we want and what we like and what makes us feel good and what makes us not feel good, and then making decisions based upon that.
That's right.
And again, and we kind of really focused on this last week, is especially during the holidays, but it, again, this happens all year long, we work from the perspective of obligation. We don't have a choice. How many times have you heard somebody say, I don't have a choice?
I have to go.
Right. I got to be there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's talk for just a few minutes before we get on to some of the other things. Let's talk for a few minutes about the real have to's. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have to work? Sure. Okay. Maybe you have to work. Choosing not to work, there's consequences of that. Absolutely. Okay. So we have to have a job. Do you have to work at the place that you work right now? Maybe not. Right. You know, so there are decisions that can be made. When you are focusing your life, and this is sort of the moral of the story for today, and then we'll kind of get into some more examples and stuff. The moral of the story today is, if you are working to build your life with the goal of being happy, what you find is that you find yourself working at a place where you're happy. And I'm not just saying this because you're sitting across the table from me, Richard. I like coming to work. Right. I like where I work. I like what I do. Are some days stressful? Absolutely. Are some days challenging? Absolutely.
And we like the people who are here.
Right.
We like the environment. We like the culture
right.
that's been created, that we created. But we also like the people who are here.
Right.
Right.
We have chosen and we have focused our work to make sure that we're surrounded by people who are like-minded, who have right. some of the same goals as we do. Mm-hmm. And so we built that. Now, it didn't happen overnight. You know, I used to work full-time at a university, and the expectation there was that you were going to see 40 hours worth of patients a week, and then on the weekends and in the evenings, you were going to write grants and get millions of dollars of seed money for research. That was stressful in such a way that I couldn't overcome that, and I wasn't happy. And I left. It took me a little bit. I had to get some other things in place. But then I left and went someplace else. Found some happiness there. But as it evolved, I learned that I was in kind of kept in tune with myself that, you know what, there's something else that I want.
Right.
And so I went and found that. Change in this way doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
You know, this was I graduated in 2005. We started this practice in 2014. So it took about 9 years to get where I am feeling right now. But all along the way, we were working. I was working, and I know that you were there as well, working in that direction that this is my vision of happiness
right.
as it relates to work. And so I kept making decisions to move in that direction. So as we're going through some of these things of and examples and descriptions of how we can work to make a happy life, we want you to think about this. Those of you who are listening to the podcast, we want you to think about where you want to be, what makes you happy, and let's figure out a path to get there.
Right.
That makes
sense?
Okay.
Yeah, whether we're talking about when it's holiday time, we're thinking about how to make this season happy, the next 4 weeks. But this extends to the other 52 weeks.
Absolutely.
I mean, all the examples, all the advice are this whole discussion that applies to the next 4 weeks also applies to the coming 52 weeks starting January 1.
Right.
So the
right.
same principles apply.
Right.
And that's what struck us when we first started talking about the holidays. My goodness, this is how we should be managing the rest of our lives.
Right, right. right. Yeah, I'm sure we'll do a podcast within the next couple of weeks on New Year's resolutions.
Right.
And this will be a major component of that.
Right.
You know, it makes me cringe when I hear people say, well, January 1st, I'm going to start my new diet. Well, if you're starting a new diet for reasons that you say you're starting a new diet, you probably should start today.
Why wait?
Why wait?
Exactly.
So, you know, you're not going to have that switch that flips and all of a sudden now I can go from living this way to living that way. And so we'll talk about processes that you can go through
right.
to, again, set those goals and begin a transition to who you want to be.
Right.
So,
right. So we're talking about happiness in the sense of living a substantive, satisfying, fulfilling life.
Right.
Not out having fun, gambling or drinking or
right.
whatever, but living a satisfied, substantive life.
Right.
Day in, day out.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
How do we create that?
Right. 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 So let's talk about that. The first way, there's several ways, and the first way that we're going to talk about is we really have to work to avoid stress
right.
as much as we can. Mm-hmm. Now, we'll talk about the next part in just a second because
You said avoid.
Avoid stress. Okay. Okay. And that is especially important this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
There are, again, like we talked about last week, there are situations that cause us a great deal of stress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And despite this artificial sense of
right.
obligation,
mm-hmm.
We impose that stress upon ourselves voluntarily.
We do.
We do it to ourselves.
And we're talking about the holiday season.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And so we're saying these are the principles. One of the things we want to do during the holiday season is to avoid stress. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what's stressful about the holidays? Well, right. there's a lot of things stressful about the holidays. Mm-hmm. Today's Black Friday. We know, we were talking about this before we started the podcast in our prep. We know that by noon, 5 o'clock at the latest this afternoon, there will be some report of some violence or some aggression at a Walmart in Tennessee or somewhere where people were fighting over a $30 Blu-ray player.
Right.
Why? You know, we and again, we wrote this in our column this week too for the Ledger that, you know, while there we admit that there are sort of a unique sliver of
right.
the population that enjoys that type of heightened arousal that comes as a result of Black Friday and that type of aggressive
mm-hmm.
Shopping. Most of us don't even like that. Even
right.
the people that go, even the people that are camping out in front of the store the night before, waiting mm-hmm. for that, you know, the doors to open at 4 a.m., most of those people, while it is a little exciting perhaps, I think that if they could get those deals otherwise, they wouldn't be out there. We're just
yes.
there for the deals.
Right.
And so we're doing it because we feel an obligation that someone that we love or someone that we want to purchase this item for mm-hmm. really wants that item, and this is the way that we're going to be able to afford it without mm-hmm. breaking the bank. And while I think on some level that's noble, I mean, that's a good reason,
mm-hmm,
perhaps,
mm-hmm.
There's lots of other reasons to say, yeah, but still,
right.
why?
Right.
Why are you doing that? When you dislike it, when you don't like it. Most people who end up coming home after these big Black Friday events are exhausted. Not just because of the lack of sleep, but that contributes to the stress,
right.
but because it's just so overstimulating,
mm-hmm.
it's so frustrating. I think about these situations because, again, we're not picking on Walmart, but, you know, when you see the ads, Black Friday sales,
mm-hmm.
And it says, you know, it has this terrific deal that everybody wants. And then if you look at the small print, it says each store will only have 5.
Right.
Okay, really? You know, mm-hmm. are you really, you're really going to go and fight all of that, go through all of that, put yourself through all of that
right.
for the chance of one of the 5 mm-hmm. that are there? So when in reality, a lot of those similar deals are available online. If you can find things, there's Cyber Monday now, and
right.
there's Small Business Saturdays, and there's all these other times when we can do some thrifty shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we put ourselves through those stressful situations?
That's right, because I do get it. There was a time when Thanksgiving was celebrated for Thanksgiving. It
right.
was Thursday, and frequently people went back to work on Friday. I mean,
right.
many people do work on Friday. Many people don't.
We do.
We work on Friday.
Yay.
But many things are closed. But now Thanksgiving has become wedded to Black Friday.
Right.
And now people look forward to that, to hurry up and plan their Thanksgiving, get it out of the way, so that, because now Black Friday really starts on Thursday, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A lot of stores open late on Thursday to give people a chance.
Well, and if your inbox, your email inbox has probably been loaded all week with early Black Fridays, and you know, you can shop Black Friday now online.
Even before Thursday. Okay.
But I remember
Black
when
Friday
I was
deals.
And I remember when I was a kid, what we would do, our annual tradition was we would have Thanksgiving lunch, and then all of the moms, my mom, all of my aunts and everybody, they would leave and they would go shopping because
On Thursday
afternoon, there were, that's when all the sales were happening and everything. I think that was before like Black Friday became what it is today. But then Friday was a time to be at home. It was a time, more relaxing time. It was a more time with the family and everything. But then it's turned into this.
I didn't know that. So they shopped on Thursday.
They shopped on Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now we've wedded Thanksgiving and Black Friday.
Right.
And probably into the weekend.
Right.
Okay. So Thanksgiving has become a shopping holiday, and we've turned shopping into a competitive
sport. Yeah.
Okay. Because I want to get one of those five TVs.
You have to be faster, stronger,
and bolder and more courageous.
It's an Olympic event.
That's right. And that competition in itself creates stress.
Right.
Because I have to be there early. I have to scout out the store. I have to know where these items are. Because if I'm going to get one of those five, and what are you really saving? Let's say you save $50.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you save $100. Is the stress you put yourself under worth that $100? Is that the only way to manage that, to make that decision?
Well, and I think that the other aspect of it is, does the person that you're fighting for that, do they
want you,
is that really something that you have to get them?
Right. If I know that somebody is stressed out, angry, in danger to get something for me, please don't do it. I do not want you to do that.
Right.
I would rather you go to a little shop, buy a loaf of bread and some cheese, and come over and let's have a conversation about something.
Right.
You know, please don't ever do that for me. I think most people feel that way. I don't want you to put yourself under stress to buy something for me.
Right.
And I bet most people feel that way.
Right. The other way to avoid stress, and not just restricting it to Black Friday and thinking about shopping and dealing with those kinds of things, the other way we need to avoid stress is we really need to consider how we're spending our time. You know, a lot of my work with families and friends this past week has been helping them cope with the idea of having to deal with people that they would otherwise want to not deal with. And again, we kind of talked about this last week, but just to reiterate it, that, you know, we do have the choice to avoid those stressful situations.
You're talking about the people now.
The people,
right? Because we all have people in our lives who put us on edge.
Right.
Who, for whatever reason, and it doesn't matter. It could be real or imagined. But we all have people in our lives who make us uncomfortable, who frustrate us, who make us angry, but they just put us on edge.
Right.
This is particularly true. It happens during holiday time. But doesn't it happen throughout the year?
I was just going to say, I can't remember who coined it, but there was someone who said, you know, there are two types of people in the world, those that pull you down and those that lift you up.
Right.
And it's there during the holidays, it's there during every other day of the year, and it's people that you live with. It can be people that you live with. It can be people that you work with.
Right.
We have to deal with that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we often voluntarily put ourselves in situations where we have to deal with people who we feel pull us down.
And we don't, the people we don't want to be with.
Right.
You know, how many people come into our practice and say, well, you know, it's Thanksgiving. Oh my God, I have to go to my mother's. I have to go to my, I have to go here. I have to go there. And I hate it because my sister's there or my cousin is there. People tell over and over and over again, how do I manage these very difficult situations? Well, we can teach you how to manage those. That comes under the heading of surviving the right. holidays. Or there's another alternative, and that is to avoid those when we talked about stress. Avoid stress altogether. Don't put yourself in those situations where you know you're going to be uneasy, you know you're going to be unhappy, you know you're going to be miserable, and you know you're going to be stressed. Don't put yourself in those situations.
Right, because if we think about what we could, I hate using these kinds of little statements, but the perfect storm mm-hmm. of stress right. is you're going someplace that you really don't want to go, to be with people that you don't really want to be with. You're going to be frustrated that mm-hmm. you're going. Mm-hmm. Your frustration is going to be sensed by them, which is going to make them probably do the worse. Things that really frustrate you already.
Right.
And it's just a mounting.
That's right. It's an accumulate. It's like a glacier.
Yes.
That just the snow gets heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier, and then it starts to slide.
Right. Right.
And break apart.
And so it really is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't have to do these things if you don't want to do them.
And that's what it choices. We're talking about choices, and we're talking about making them mindfully. You don't need to make choices based on, I have to do this. There are no have tos.
Right.
Once you reach adulthood, now, if you're a teenager, you're yeah. 10 years old, then you have to. You have to go with your family because there are other lessons to be learned. But once you reach adulthood and you're able to make your own decisions and you're independent, then you get to make these decisions. But it has to be a thoughtful choice. And if you don't really want to go there, if you don't really want to go to Best Buy on Black Friday, if you don't want to go to the big box stores and fight those crowds, don't do it. It's
right.
not worth it. You're not gaining that much. Hey, if that's what you like to do, and I know people who love the competitive sport kind of atmosphere that's created on Black Friday, that really gets their juices flowing. If that makes you really happy, by all means, go out and do it. Please don't ask me to go with you.
Right. And again, you know, not picking on anybody in particular, but we all have people in our families that are like that too. They like that engagement of conflict.
That's
they,
right.
They seek it. And
the
so
competition,
usually
the conflict.
That's who
right.
we're trying to avoid on some level.
Right.
And so we're saying, you know, you don't have to cope with that. They're going to be looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we work with kids who are being bullied at school,
right.
one of the things that we talk to them about is the bully wants that.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. you know, kids will say, well, you know, I'm just working to come with get a good comeback, you know, when
right.
he says these mean things. No. Mm-hmm. Don't engage him, because as soon as you engage him, he's going to play by rules that you're not going to play by.
Exactly.
You know, these, whether they're loved ones or they're friends that sort of rub us this way in the wrong,
right.
rub us
the
wrong way.
Rub us the wrong way, right.
You know,
right.
that's part of their MO.
Mm-hmm.
They want that conflict because
right.
it juices them up. It gets
mm-hmm.
them going.
Mm-hmm.
They love it.
Right.
So we can avoid that. You really can.
Mm-hmm.
Even if all you need is for us to say you have permission to avoid that,
right.
then here we're saying that.
Right.
You know, it is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Will people be upset? Maybe. But that's okay.
Yeah, we can talk about consequences, because every decision you make has consequences. You can go to a family gathering that you really don't want to attend and be miserable, okay? That's going to be the consequence. You're going to be miserable and stressed and unhappy.
Right.
On the other hand, you can decide not to go, and you're going to be criticized by other family members. That's the consequence of not going.
Right.
Make your decision. Choose which consequence you can live with.
Yeah.
But then don't complain about it.
Right.
That somebody else is making you do this. Nobody else is making you do it.
Right.
You're making the decision. You're selecting this consequence over this consequence.
Right.
That's your decision. Don't complain about it then.
Right.
And don't hold it against others. Nobody else's fault.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to come to terms with the decision that you're making, because once you do that, then this is a nice transition to the next thing that we have to do to be able to live a happy life, is then once you've made the decision, you're going to have some stress from that
right.
either way.
Mm-hmm.
Now we just have to figure out how to cope with that stress.
That's right.
You know, I said earlier, you know, I love where I work.
Mm-hmm.
I love coming here. For those listeners, those of you who don't work here who are listening and don't know, I think Richard and I have been, usually we come to the office, we get here around, what, 7 o'clock in the morning or so, 7:15, 7:30?
6:30.
This week.
5:30.
This week we've been here about 5 o'clock. Now, we've been here because neither of us this week, our kids are out of school, so we don't have to take kids to school or anything like that. And when we, even though we have the opportunity to sleep a little bit later, we just want to come here because we love the work that we're doing.
We get up and come here.
Right.
This is where we want to be at right now.
Right.
No, I don't want to go out and have breakfast with anybody. I don't want to be anywhere else.
Right.
This is where I want to be right now.
Right. We get up, get dressed, and come to work.
Right.
And we're saying that not because we want you to feel jealous, but we're saying that because that's possible.
Right.
And even though we want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and again, this was something else we were talking about this morning before we were even thinking about, and before we were even preparing for the podcast, is there's still stress here.
Right.
You know, we still experience things. There's still things that are going on here that are stressful.
Right.
And so what we've had to do and what you will have to do is we got to figure out a way to deal with the stress that we're going to experience even in the happiest of times.
That's right.
You know, if you are a, well, we're here in Central Florida, so even if you're a Buccaneers fan,
mm-hmm,
right,
mm-hmm,
you want to go to the game, you go to the game. If the Bucs are losing, that's stressful. That's frustrating.
Right.
You got to figure out a way to deal with it.
Right.
You know, and you see those fans there who are getting angry and they're, you know, they're saying all these terrible things about the players who maybe admittedly should play better,
mm-hmm,
or could play better. But you've got to figure out a way to deal with that stress, because then you get those people, I almost used a derogatory term, those people who go out there and then they start fights,
right.
You know, they're getting drunk and they're doing all these crazy things, and it's like, that's not how to deal with stress.
That's not dealing with stress. Getting drunk and fighting is not one of the recommended ways of dealing with stress.
Right. It's a way to deal with stress.
Right.
But it's not an adaptive,
not what we would recommend,
a healthy way to deal with stress. So,
right.
So dealing with stress or figuring out a way to cope with the inevitable stress that comes with life,
right,
in general,
mm-hmm,
it is an important skill to develop to live a happy life.
And I'm sure you agree that there is much less stress involved in dealing with the stress of the consequence we choose,
right,
rather than dealing with the stress of the consequence that we feel was imposed. Okay,
right, right. And this was, as we were again preparing this morning, we were one of the things that always comes, this is a little insight, as we always prepare for podcasts, we think about three or four other podcast ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we were talking about this morning was that, you know, when we think about this stress, when we think about the stress that we accept, once we say, okay,
mm-hmm,
I recognize that this is stressful,
right,
I'm going to accept that stress.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Our ability to cope with it is significantly increased.
Right. That's
because, right, because we accept that this is what we want to,
mm-hmm,
do.
Yeah.
That simple, basic mental perspective changes everything.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Change it does. It changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Just by saying, this is what I want to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It changes everything. You know, if you step back and you think, okay, I want to run a marathon.
Right. That's right.
Okay. Well, you can't just go out and run a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
You have to prepare for it. And to prepare for it is going to be very stressful. There's going to be times when you run,
mm-hmm,
and you're going to end and you're going to be sore. You're going to hurt. You're going to not want to run again.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're choosing that because a marathon is what you really want to do,
right,
then you will run again the next day.
That's right. I have another good example of that. We were talking about being here this morning. This is where I wanted to be. One of my children is home visiting. She's on Thanksgiving break from college, and I haven't really spent much time with her this year because she's gotten very involved in school. She's here this afternoon. At 3 o'clock this afternoon, I'm going to want to leave here to spend time with her. If I don't, and I don't spend time with her, that's going to be stressful. I really want to be with her for a portion of today because she has to go back to school tomorrow.
Right.
So I want to be with her today. So I'm going to make the choice, of when I leave here, because I don't want to deal with the nervousness that I know is going to set in that I'm here and I'm not spending time with her.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So again, my decision. Mm-hmm. It's not her fault. It's my decision of what consequence I want to deal with.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And someone just posted on the chat room, Miss Cassie, she said, happiness can be tricky. I find it hard to decide whether or not to try harder or move on. And that's a great
point.
Because a lot of times we're looking for, we're trying to balance between that sense of satisfaction that mm-hmm. we were talking about earlier mm-hmm. and the stress that we're experiencing.
That's right.
And sometimes it's difficult to tell which one outweighs the other.
That's right. But once you make the decision, and in that case, if you can't decide, then you just have to sort of flip a coin or pick a number or something, say, okay, this is where I'm going to go. Now, how do I deal with it?
Right, right. And the key to all of it is you have to have that goal set in mind to begin
right,
with.
Right.
If your goal, using the marathon, if your goal is to run a marathon,
right.
and that, again, is your thoughtful, determined goal, then despite the stress, you're going to move on. You're going to or work harder, using her phrases. Mm-hmm. You're going to work harder.
Right.
If you try, you mm-hmm. say, okay, I'm going to do a marathon. You go out and start running. You hit your first 3 to 6 miles, mm-hmm. and then you stop and you say, holy cow, that's much harder than I expected. There's no way I can accomplish that
mm-hmm.
goal.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to move on to a different goal. Okay, maybe instead of doing a marathon, I want to do a 5K.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so mm-hmm. 3 miles will be the maximum that I run.
Right.
So we can shift our goals, but I think, again, this is where we get in trouble with New Year's resolutions, mm-hmm. is we don't really set a firm goal. We just say, I want to lose weight for the new year, and then we kind of come up
do
with
things.
This is right. what I'm going to do to make that happen.
Right.
But it's non-specific. It's generalized. It's many times over-ambitious. And so right. we set the bar way too high
mm-hmm.
and we can't accomplish it. And
right.
so then we get, as Ms. Cassie said, you know, we get into the situation where the stress perhaps is so great
mm-hmm.
that we can't find the satisfaction in what we're trying to do.
Right. And this issue, the idea of goals, I think, is an important one, because let's say we're not advising people when we say there are family members that you might not want to be with. We're not saying avoid them altogether, because
right.
your goal might be to spend time with family. That may be an important value for you.
Or it may be to improve your relationships with these people.
And so you've decided, I'm going to be there and I'm going to do everything I can to forge better relationships with family members.
Right. Okay,
this is the year that I'm going to patch up my differences with this one. This is the year that I'm going to become more tolerant, more
right.
accepting. And so we're not saying if you don't want to go there, don't go. No, we're saying that if your goal is to be with your family, then yes, by all means, go do that, but do it well.
Right.
You know, make good things happen so that when you're finished, when you leave there that day, you have accomplished that goal.
Right.
Making things better. Don't go and be miserable.
Right.
Go and create satisfaction.
Right.
Go and create happiness.
Right. You have to be committed to it, and you have to, you can't go at it half-heartedly.
That's right.
You have to go with it with a commitment
mm-hmm.
and say, you know, and again, what I do, and I know that you do this too, with our patients, is when a patient's trying to make some of these decisions, I will sit down with them during a session, and we will walk through all the potential consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you
yeah.
want to do this,
right.
All right? So what's going to happen if someone says this,
mm-hmm.
or what's going to happen if someone says that? How will you
right.
respond? How will you
That's right.
deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
And you go into it prepared. Far too often, I think that we enter life circumstances ill-prepared.
Sure.
There's some situations, of course, that we can't prepare for, some that catch us by surprise and we're not ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, for many life situations, we can be well-prepared. There may be some surprises that happen, but we can still be prepared.
Sure. We can control everything.
And all of that helps us cope with stress.
Mm-hmm.
Being prepared, thinking about what's happening, accepting that there's going to be some stress and then confronting it wholeheartedly, directly, you know, all of these things help us cope with stress. Exercise helps us cope with stress. Therapy helps us cope with stress. Just talking to other people helps us cope with stress. So there's lots of ways to cope with the inevitable stress that we're going to experience, even in the good times.
But minimize and avoid as much as you can. Don't put yourself in situations where you know stress is going to increase. There's always going to be some, because there are always consequences, and consequences usually, often, are stressful consequences. They're not always pleasurable. But when they're stressful, how much stress do you want to deal with?
Because, again, there's no obligation to take on stress that's not necessary.
We said that in the column, that if you don't want to include me in your holiday plans, that's perfectly acceptable to me. I might be hurt. I might be offended. But it is perfectly acceptable to me, because when I say to you, have a Merry Christmas, have a happy holidays, have happy Thanksgiving, I mean that. I mean, do whatever you have to do to have a happy holiday. If that doesn't include me, that's okay, because I want you to have a happy holiday.
Right. I do think it's ironically funny, or interesting, maybe not funny, but interesting, that, you know, when we look at those kinds of perceived obligations, we say, well, we don't want so-and-so to be upset with us, but yet so-and-so is the person that if you go there, they're going to make you frustrated. They're the reason that you don't want to go there. Well, what does it matter what they think if they're going to be the ones that sort of going to be the source of all your stress and frustration? You know, either they're going to be upset with you about that, or they're going to be upset with you because the interaction that you have there is negative. Really, the only thing that you're removing from the situation by not going is the stress that you're experiencing from the interaction.
Right. I have to add another layer of complexity to this, and we're going to go on a little bit of a tangent here if we have time to do so.
We have a few minutes.
We've been talking about accepting invitations to places we don't want to go. The other side of that is, what if there's somebody you don't want to invite?
Yes.
Okay. That's another layer of complexity. You know, I mean, you sit down with your guest list and say, dang, I really don't want them here.
Right.
If you really don't want them here, then don't invite them.
Right.
Or if you're going to invite them, then you have to figure out how you're going to manage the consequences.
Okay? Right.
I would advise that if you really don't want somebody, don't invite them.
Right.
That's the easiest way to... Now, there's going to be a consequence to that.
Right.
They're not going to like you. But if you don't want them in your house, you're not going to care if they like you or not.
Right.
Okay, so I would say don't be terribly concerned if a non-invitation ends the relationship, because you don't want them with you anyway.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
A little more difficult.
Yeah.
Because that's a direct... That's not... It's one thing not to accept an invitation. It's very different not to invite somebody.
Right.
That's a more direct insult.
Right.
But that's what we mean by difficult decisions. But you have to decide which consequence you want to live with and then deal with that consequence. It's going to bring stress. You have to deal with that stress.
Right. And the realistic component to exactly what you're talking about is that, you know, the argument that we often give ourselves, maybe it's a better way to say it, is, well, I don't interact with that person any other time of the year. This is just one day. If that's the way that you want to approach it, that's fine. But that's, again, what we're talking about with, then that's the decision that you're making. Right. You have to figure out a way to cope with the stress that decision brings.
Yeah, I don't want the person here, but everybody else does. And my grandmother will be upset. My mother will be upset. And if you don't want to upset all those people, then invite this person you don't like.
Right.
But get ready to deal with the consequences. It's going to put you under increased stress.
Right.
So figure out how you're going to deal with that.
And plan your actions while you're in that setting, while you're going to be in that setting. So if this person that creates some frustration for you is going to be there, then make the decision that, you know what, I think I'm going to spend the day outside with the kids and just kind of playing outside and doing some of that. Or if I'm in the living room and that person comes into that room, I'm just going to find, you know, I'm going to go get a drink as soon as I start feeling some of that stress. You know, you have a plan. I love planning. You have a plan to deal with it.
Right.
Don't go into it saying, we'll just see what happens, or, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, I hope it doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do if it does?
Right.
And if you're prepared, you're going to deal with it much yeah. better.
Because you might feel when you've analyzed everything, you might feel that you have to invite this person, but you don't have to spend time with that person.
Right.
There's a difference.
Right.
Okay. Yes, I have to invite her, but I don't have to be in the same room with her.
Right, right. So for the last, we got about 10 more minutes or so. And so let's talk about then the other side of this. We're talking about avoiding things. So now what can we actively do to be happy? Well,
right.
do what makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's silly to say.
And it says same three things.
Same three things.
Do what makes you happy.
Go where you're happy.
Be with people you want to be with.
Right.
And do the and be places that you really like to be.
Right.
I find museums difficult. Big mm-hmm. museums mm-hmm. I can only do it for short periods, and then
right.
I have to take a rest.
Right.
Okay. It's not that I don't like going to Walmart, but a museum, I have to plan it very carefully because I have to take breaks because
right.
I just get
overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
so places, activities, and people.
Right.
Right.
So do what makes you happy. You've heard that, you have heard that advice since you were in school, you
yeah.
know, what should I be when I grow up? Well, if you find a way to do what makes you happy, you'll never work a day in your life. We hear that all the time.
That's right.
And we tend to sort of see that as whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, we see that as, okay, that's not real advice.
Right.
Because you know what? I really like playing video games. But the chances of me playing video games for a living isn't realistic.
Right.
You know, it's not just not going to happen. Or it could, but it requires a path typically that we don't think of when we're mm-hmm. thinking, I want to be a video gamer when I grow up.
Right.
So how do we do that? Well, it really is, again, maybe the name of this should be setting goals. It really is about finding a goal. If you closed your eyes and you just imagine who you would like to be, how you would like to see yourself, okay? Once you see that person, that's your goal. If you see your person now, and I'm not talking about those silly goals of, okay, I see myself as being a millionaire by the time I'm 22. Okay, you know, there's a very small portion of the population that will meet such a goal. But if you see your goal as, you know what, I want to be a video game producer. Let's stick with video games because that's what all the kids say now, or a lot of kids say now. I want to be a video game designer. Okay, so if you want to be a video game designer, let's talk about what that goal means. That goal means you're going to have to learn something about computer programming.
Right.
It means that you're going to have to learn something about graphic design. It means that you're going to probably have to go to some classes to learn some of these things, either online classes or in-person classes. It's not just, you know what, if I really get good at Call of Duty, I can be a video game designer when I grow up.
Right.
If I log in 10,000 hours playing Halo, I'm going to become a video... That's
no.
not realistic. So if we say, okay, if that's your goal, here are ways that we can work towards that goal.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a plan. Now we can find a way to take what we enjoy doing and that those activities that you're talking about.
Right.
Now we can take what we want to do and make that into something.
Right, right.
We like talking to people. We like trying to help people. We like giving people the tools they need to live a happy life.
Mm-hmm.
So we started one, then two podcasts. We're doing monthly workshops. We are just working to create an environment that allows us to meet those goals.
Right.
When I was at the university, I still had those goals. I still wanted to do that. That's why I was in psychology. But I wasn't doing any of those things. And I wasn't happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't satisfied. So I had to work to identify, because I really didn't clearly articulate those goals.
Mm-hmm.
Once I did, then I can work towards
That's
it.
Right.
So that, I think, is how we can really make that what seems like an empty statement of just do what makes you happy, do what you love. Mm-hmm. We can turn that into this is how you really implement that.
Right. Right.
The same thing with going where you want to go. We've used mm-hmm. Walmart as an example. We use family members' houses as examples.
Right.
There is no reason to go any place that you don't want to go.
That's right.
Even if that's a workplace, whether it's a shopping place, whether it's a person's house, there really is no obligation to go someplace that you mm-hmm. don't want to go. So the other side of that is go where you feel good.
Right. I was thinking about that the other day. I have about four different ways that I can get from my home to the office, to this office. And one of them is very quick, very direct, but it's fast and crowded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's a little bit shorter time-wise. One goes meanders through some neighborhoods. I find myself going through the neighborhoods because I don't want to rush to get here.
Right.
Okay. And so those are places I would rather be in this place than this place.
Right.
I can save a little time going this way, but there's more traffic. The pace is faster. The drivers are angrier.
Mm-hmm.
When I go through these neighborhoods, I'm virtually alone.
Right.
And I enjoy the trip to the office so much more when I take this slower, quieter,
though longer
route, though long, takes me a few minutes.
Right.
To take the fast way only saves me a couple of minutes.
Right.
But I'll happily trade those few minutes for this more tranquil
right.
approach to work, this more tranquil route to work. And that's what we mean about making choices. You know, do the one that has the least amount of stress.
Right.
And the one that you really want to do.
Right, right. Yeah, when, you know, with the work that we do a lot of writing and we do a lot of presenting and things like that. Well, I prefer to do that work here at the office.
Right.
Now, every night, and this is without fail, every night I bring my laptop home, I bring my notes home, and I think, you know what, when I get home, I'm going to do a little bit of this work. Well, I do work when I'm at home after everybody else is laying down and everything. But it tends to be different work. I don't pull all this stuff mm-hmm. out, and mm-hmm. I'm searching for things on my tablet and things like that. Because at home, these are the activities that I prefer to do at home, and these are activities I prefer to do at work. And,
right.
and when we recognize that, this is where I'm satisfied or happy dealing with this, and this is where it makes
right.
me feel good doing that. If you like going for walks, well, a lot of times here in town, there's this big lake that everybody likes to go walk around. Well, for me, it's stressful to get to the lake to walk around the lake. It's a
right.
very nice lake to walk around, but it's stressful to get to the lake to walk around.
Right.
So I found paths around where I live to go for my walks and runs.
Right.
Be places that make you happy.
Right.
Be places that make you feel like you can accomplish the task that you're trying to accomplish.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that goes along with the last one, with being with people who make you feel good.
Right.
Be with people who are supportive, that you know, those two types of people that we were talking about earlier, those that pull you down and those that lift you up. Surround yourself with the people that lift you
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's again, no reason, no obligation to spend time with people who are bringing you down.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to cope with that. We don't
right.
have to deal with that. We can make those decisions as decision-making adults, especially.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We can make those decisions to be with people who make us feel good.
That's right.
And who share similar goals, who share similar aspirations that we share.
Mm-hmm.
And when you surround yourself with like-minded people,
mm-hmm.
And I mean like-minded people from a very generalized perspective, not that
right.
you all are, you know, so in sync that you mm-hmm. can't introduce other ideas, but you all sort of have the same kinds of goals of whatever that is, that you can work together and that you feel rejuvenated. You know,
right.
we all have those people where you interact with them, and when you finish interacting with them, you're like, man, I feel, mm-hmm. I got lots of ideas. Let's go do
yeah.
something.
Mm-hmm.
those are the kinds of people that you want to surround yourself with.
Yeah, there are people when they say good morning to you, you just feel better, you know.
Yeah.
And you say, I can't wait to see her this morning, or I can't wait to see him this morning, because I just feel better when I'm talking to this person.
Right.
There are others who put your teeth on edge.
You know,
you do everything you can to avoid them because they pollute your time, they pollute your day. You don't want to. And I would say that I think it's safe to assume, and I'd be interested in your opinion about this. If you find yourself saying, I hate the people I work with,
right,
I would take a long, hard look at that, because I'm guessing that you not only hate the people you work with, you probably don't like the work, and you probably don't like the building, you probably don't like anything else about it either. That's a pretty clear indication that maybe it's time for a change.
Moving to something else.
Moving to something else. If you really hate the people you're being with, so many people come in here and say, oh, we went out the other night, I just hate being with that guy, I just hate being with them.
Right.
Then don't be with them.
Right.
There's no obligation to be with them.
Right.
And it's perfectly okay that mm-hmm. when you reach that conclusion where you say, I just hate being with them, then stop being with them.
Right.
Your life is going to improve.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember working when I worked at the university, it was a big building. So there were multiple floors, and it's always interesting. We just watch people sometimes, right? Just watching people and seeing, a particular person is waiting to get on the elevator. Mm-hmm. Somebody else comes in and they see that that person's waiting on the elevator, and they prefer to take the stairs because they don't want to be in the elevator with that person. I'd rather
deal with the consequence of walking up the stairs.
Which is fine. Don't put yourself in situations where
right.
Because it happens 99% of the time where right. You're going to be stressed by a particular interaction or by something that someone's going to do. You don't have to be in that situation. So,
right.
So do what makes you happy. Go places that make you feel happy, make you feel satisfied, and interact and spend time with those people who rejuvenate you and make you mm-hmm. feel good about who you are and where you're going. Mm-hmm. I guess the take home of all of this today is make decisions that are right for you. Mm-hmm. Don't live your life to make somebody else satisfied. Mm-hmm. If by doing so, you are bringing yourself down or making yourself unhappy or leading a life that is unsatisfactory to you. Mm-hmm. Some people have a hard time with this. You're the most important person in your life.
Right.
When you fly on an airplane, they tell you, in case of an emergency, put your own oxygen mask on first,
right.
even before you put it on your kids.
Right.
Now, kids are important. Our kids are important, but you can't take care of somebody else if you're not taking care of yourself.
If you don't have enough oxygen, you're not going to be any good to anybody else.
Exactly.
So,
and whether it's oxygen or it's life energy that comes right. from being happy.
However you want to define it.
However. Yeah. You have to be happy, and if you're happy and you're happy with those that are around you, you're going to make them happy as well.
Mm-hmm.
So to live a happy life, maybe now it seems silly to say, do what makes you happy.
PPA, people, places, and activities. Keep those three things in mind. Practice this during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll find the holidays go better.
Right.
And get ready for January, because we're going to have the same message then, that this is what you have to do year long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we do our podcast on creating New Year's resolutions,
right.
you're going to hear some recurring themes there.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. All right. Anything else?
No, but do have a happy holiday.
Do have a happy holiday. Right. And enjoy yourself. Enjoy those that you decide to spend time with. Enjoy the places that you choose to go. Stay safe. And we will talk to you next
week.
Come back
in January rested and rejuvenated.
Not January. They'll be back next week. That'll be December.
I stand corrected.
All right. Guys, thank you so much for listening.
Good talking to you.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Next week, yes.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Mental Breakdown. We really appreciate you listening and do hope that you take some of the things we were talking about and work to making your life much happier, much more satisfying, and, well, make your life what you want it to be. That's what's important after all. Just a few reminders and updates. In December, December 11th, if you're here in Central Florida, we are providing a workshop. It's going to be December 11th. It's called Managing the Holidays. And we're going to be talking about a lot of the same things that we were talking about today. We'll go into a little bit more detail. It's a 3-hour workshop. For more details and information about that, you can go to our website, which is www.pacflorida.com, and click on the workshops tab and you can get all the information there. If you are a licensed mental health counselor, licensed clinical social worker, or licensed marriage and family therapist, you can register and get CEUs for that. So lots of opportunities. If you're a teacher, we can give you a certificate so that you can get in-service credit if your principal will grant that. We're happy to help with that. So that's December 11th. And again, all the information is up there on our website. Also, while you're there on our website, go ahead and log in, put in your email address and everything to receive our monthly newsletter. Our November newsletter is out and can be, by registering, you can get it to your inbox every time, every month. We will have a new edition out and stay up with what we're doing here. And we will always have little articles in there talking about different things, different ways to help you live a happy life and deal with stress and all those things that we're trying to work on and help with here on the podcast. So check that out. That's the newsletter, the PEC Florida newsletter. Check it out. Also, I've been spending a lot of time over the last couple of days working to build up some things on our YouTube page. The Mental Breakdown YouTube page. We have clips there from some of our old workshops. I'm still working to get some more up. So I'm trying to, I'll probably be doing some more of that today. So check that out. We'll have the clips from workshops. We'll also have our podcasts available there. So if you, if it's easier for you to just listen to us through YouTube, you can check that out. Eventually, I think we're going to start doing the video podcast so that you can actually see us talking, and we can put slides up and put some images up to help with some of the things that we're talking about. So check out YouTube, subscribe to our YouTube channel, stay up to date with all the things that we're posting. Like I said, I'm probably going to be posting several more videos up on YouTube later today. You can follow us on Twitter, at Dr. Bernie is the handle, and on Facebook, we have several Facebook pages, including the Mental Breakdown, of course. Our practice Facebook page, which is Psychological Associates of Central Florida, as well as our Facebook page for our other podcast called Paedia, P-A-E-D-E-I-A. There's a lot of cross posting to that, but there is some there are some things that are specific to some of the different pages. So check that out and follow us there. Finally, if you listen to us on iTunes, we do ask that you jump on and do a quick rating or review. It would be great. Our ratings on iTunes is at least in part comes from ratings and reviews that we receive from listeners. I certainly find new podcasts to listen to based upon the new and trending sections of iTunes, and by you writing a review and rating us will help boost us in that aspect so that other people can find us. And of course, as we always say, we enjoy others joining in on the conversation and being part of the discussion. So if you get a chance, we would really appreciate that. And again, that will just sort of increase our listenership so that more people are talking. And when more people talk, more change can happen. So thanks again for listening, and have a happy rest of your holiday weekend, and we will talk to you next week.